Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Sherry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and with me is Sherry Lowry, who is sharing her 20-plus years of knowledge on what it takes to build your business once. Now, on today's show, we're talking about wealth and you. What is enough, plus how do you get that reserve? So, Sherry, I think a lot of times we think we've got to win the lotto in order to have enough, but the reality is that the majority of us will not win that lotto. So what do we need to do to make sure that we have enough wealth and that we have a reserve in our business?
All right. Today, the first thing we have to find out about ourselves and also about how we want our business to be modeled on, as our business emerge and then they evolve, so probably will our relationship with the various forms of wealth. Normally, in our culture, which is the North American one, we are typically thinking about wealth in terms of dollars, of money, actual money. However, I'm going to talk to you today about expanding on that. And yes, it's about money. It's about currency. It's about bank deposits and savings accounts. But it's also about your time and my time, about acquisition of possessions and what types of those and what quantities of those do you want. And then it also infringes on lifestyle and quality of life experience, which will lead us to the topic of how wealthy are we in relationship. And I know that's extremely important to you, Jennifer, and that part of your business model and business approach has been built around the fact that you have very close family relationships. And that's been the case for me, too. It's one of the commonalities that our business career path has shared.
You know what I really like is that you said that wealth is not just financial, that it's also the wealth of the relationships you have around you, because a lot of times folks don't consider that as part of the really important piece of their business. So that I love that you said that. Please carry on.
Okay. Well, for a little tiny bit of history, back in the 80s and the early 90s, and this was right before we actually met for the first time, one of the kind of cultural models was the model of more, more, more. There almost was no such thing in those days as too much. It was the more is better kind of a theme song. And that worked fine up to a point. But most of the time, people were also thinking about the clock and how much time they had in their life and how much calendar they had to book into, and when they went to work and when they got off work and that type of thing. And so he with the most with the highest volume and highest quality of toys won for a while, but then that began to get expensive because toys aren't very gratifying after a while, especially as they age and you age. So then in the 21st century, which is what we're in currently still, many of us started to realize and both experienced the joy of shedding, or at least the joy of simplifying both our businesses a bit and our life. And in that case, our businesses possibly started to have a deeper focus. And I know you have spoken many times on how your hyper-focus on certain aspects of your business was a kind of a landmark for you as you began to evolve to where you are today with Brewing Media. So I know there were some challenges at some point that you bumped up against about that what is better is more, and eventually got to the conversation of what is enough too for you.
Right. Well, I think going back to what you were saying earlier, how everybody wanted more and more and more, it kind of makes me think of course, the movie Wall Street and Gordon Gekko, where he says greed is good.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's always going to be, when you have an extreme of anything, I don't care what it is, there's always a rubber band effect.
That's right.
And I think that's what the 21st century is. It's kind of that rubber band effect of that opposing thought process where more is not necessarily better. And in my case, that was definitely the truth, because I was saying yes to every opportunity, mm-hmm. and I was running myself ragged, and I wasn't satisfied, even though these were the things I enjoyed doing, because I was doing too many of them and doing them not in a fluid way. It actually worked against me, and I wound up being very unsatisfied, and I couldn't figure out why. And once I put those limitations in my life and in my business, all of a sudden satisfaction went up and the amount of things I was doing went down, and yet my pay, the amount of money I was making, went up. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of this crazy thing. It seems opposite, but it's actually the case. When you fine tune yourself, mm-hmm. and when you limit and you focus and you niche into things that are really suit you the best, mm-hmm. which is what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, then you will be more satisfied both professionally and personally, and your income inevitably rises.
Okay. And what we'll continue to be talking about the next 2 weeks and the previous two is it possible to invent this way of doing business once and then reinvent parts and pieces of it, let certain pieces go and add anew? And that's when the question really does come into play. What are we enough for, and what really is enough for us and for our business goals, our business aspirations, but also the lifestyle that we have and the relationships that we are committed to. And so our responses to those questions really do need to be in relationship to money being more meaningfully serving us. And it may be doing that as a safety, a characteristic of how we're going to keep safe in the future and keep our families safe for unexpected changes and, tragedies and that type of thing. Money may only also be meaningfully serving as a bridge to changes when opportunities arise. We want to have some flexibility and freedom and the money to explore or to adventure or to take a bit of a risk sometime when rare opportunity presents. We also want to think of money as future wealth and planning wealth and investment. And the investment is as much in who and what we are becoming consciously as it is what we're bringing to the table in terms of cash flow. So we have to redefine wealth for us, and we have to do it purposefully. As do we have a wealth of advice? I know you reached out at one point for more sounding board put into your actual business life. I ongoingly deal with what is my wealth of in learning, because I and you both have continuing learning edges that we like to keep pushing. You also have equipment, more so than I do. I have that, but I stay properly equipped for longer, probably, and with less need for diversification than you do. And so you had to account for that budget-wise at some point. We both have the benefit of wealth of experience, but that is where more might not be enough in terms of status quo for me. I'm going to let you speak for yourself there. But experience is gained and shared, I think, are a major value for you.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I completely agree. I mean, I think a lot of times once you get that set, then all of a sudden it seems like it's smoother sailing, and yet getting there was such a rocky terrain. So I'm happy to be in the smooth sailing path for sure.
Right. That's right. Well, you have a bigger sail now and broader waters and definitely smoother waters now. They're not so rocky. Yeah, when life events unexpectedly take place, especially when it involves family, the rules, have to change there. So a realistic knowing, we're going to talk about the concept of that, a realistic knowing of what is enough versus more than enough. And that brings us to the whole concept of reserve. I function best personally knowing where I stand in relationship to both of those arenas. And I have metrics for both, metrics for how much reserve I need and time and energy and focus, as well as in how many experiences can I work into a day or a week and still be comfortable with the rest of my responsibilities and my opportunities that present. And I manage my calendar according to that. And because I have an aging process going on too. I find I can still do as much, and I can probably do as well, but I do like to have more time within which to do that. So there's something going on there that while my energy is still good and really high, life readiness kind of has me measure that a little bit and value that, you know, a little bit more significantly now. So when we begin to get some real rudiment around that, then it's time for us to establish a personal reserve. In my case, I like a stash of currency, of literal currency. That involves savings, a few investments, a line of credit, and good credit being maintained. That's there. It's safe. It's accessible. In the event of emergency, I don't have to panic. You know, that is already there. I know you and your family have established that, and you and your business, you know, have too. So let's talk a little bit about what does that kind of knowing do for us then? What has it done for you, Jennifer, as you have discovered you put these things in place?
I will say it gives me a newfound confidence, really, is what it did when I first started setting things up. You know, I was running my business by the seat of my pants because if we look at the social media, podcasting, this kind of world, it's now an industry, but it wasn't anything a dozen years ago, you know, but in this time it became this thing. And so making it up as I went along worked for a while, but there was that point where I really needed to treat this as an actual business and as an actual way that I was, that my whole business was revolved around, as opposed to just being something that I could do. And I think that mental shift of really thinking that this isn't this fun, you know, hippie, trendy, crazy thing I'm doing that, you know, it's techie geeky, that it's actually, you know, a professional environment, really was the piece that kind of made that shift happen. And so then, yeah, you bring in a CPA, you know, you start using, you know, bookkeeping software, you hire a business coach, you know, you do, you know, you've got contractors to work for you. And when you put all these pieces in place, it really does make it easier to treat this with the respect that it deserves.
That's right. Yeah. So for both of us, I think making these decisions and giving some reflection and some thought to this has bought us both a sense of freedom, a sense of a greater competence and confidence to use it, an opportunity for choice, more options, some kind of a sense of stability, and the comfort to me of knowing that there is a bit of reserve there just in case. So I'm thinking about the old VW Volkswagen was our first introduction to the extra 2-gallon tank. I don't know if you ever had a VW. I didn't have one, but I had friends who had them. And we all never did have to buy gas when it looked like we might need to buy gas and we were going somewhere, because the Volkswagen came with a 2-gallon reserve tank that it would automatically switch the car over to. So you just never really had the fear of running out of gas. When I got my Miata in 2005, it came automatically built in with a 3-gallon reserve tank, and that with that car, it had, we'd get a minimum of 20 miles a gallon at the time, and so I had an extra 60 miles, you know, before I really did need to stop for gas. I most of the time stopped before that, but if I was traveling and it was approaching dark and I wanted to get someplace, I didn't have a concern about going on. So, you know, a lot of things in our life come with reserve or have a way we can build in reserve. So, and then operationally, you know, I would know where I stood with my bank balance. I would have some kind of a schedule of deposits. I would have some automatic bill paying, and so nothing dropped through if I got distracted or busy or kind of overloaded in other ways. And so, you know, what level, how did you begin to discover what level of reserve would help give you the capability to keep that confidence in, even in the face of the unexpected?
You know, that's an ongoing challenge because as an entrepreneur, you know, our business ebbs and flows. And sometimes you've got, you know, big projects that are longstanding projects, but then you have, you know, new projects that are kind of like those little speedboat projects. And so I will say that that number for me definitely ebbs and flows. And I think I'm in the stage of my business where I'm comfortable with that just because I'm in that growth stage. And so mm-hmm. I think it does change depending on if you're in startup mode or if you're in growth stage or if you're in sustaining stage. And I think it fluctuates depending on which level of business you're at.
That's a super point. Yeah, I think that's really, really relevant. Also, we talked about Maslow's hierarchy of seven needs earlier in the past few weeks. And some of that conceptually is very helpful here, too. So knowing what type of literals are necessary and really recommended for you to be your best and do your best is a little bit what both of us are talking about and also advocating for in terms of that. And so to begin to wrap up here, getting an actual number on these kinds of things is very, very comforting. And it's also just plain wise. And then you are prepared and there's, you know, not panic and that type thing. So the most important single point is about knowing what is enough for you, actually doing some reflection work on that, contrasting and comparing, and having some form of reserve that works for you in order to set you free to really go for what you're going for and really focus on that and not be distracted when disruptions happen or change comes up.
Fantastic. Well, folks, think about that, what wealth is enough for you, and also how to set that reserve, and think about whether you're in startup mode, growth mode, or whether you're in maintaining mode, or even if you're transitioning out, because it could be that you want to sell your business, which I know that Sherry and I will probably talk about on a future show in the next, for the sometime during this month. Thanks a lot for another great show, Sherry.
Okay, thank you.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.